Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
Baseball is back.
He doesn't want a super spreader out there in the middle of the field.
The season is different. On the field, in the socially distant clubhouse, in the empty stands.
You guys wanted to do it. You've been wanting to do it for months.
There's a lot to talk
Who
about.
Who are you kidding? Don't give me all that bull crap.
And this is the place to do it. This is the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Big Wah Safety Insurance, Rodenheiser Home Services, Woodbridge Wines, Gravely, and Jackson Lumber.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You mentioned the commitment to the core of this group, but also that nobody is untouchable. How would you define your commitment to keeping particularly Bogaerts and Devers with the group?
Yeah, I think, again, that's simple. Those guys are core players for us. They're incredibly important to our future, just as they've been important here for a while. And, you know, as I said earlier to Jen, you know, I think philosophically, I don't like to think in terms of, you know, absolute no's, but those guys are key players for us. They, you know, we are very hopeful that they're going to be part of our next championship here.
All right, that's Chaim Bloom, Chief Baseball Officer for your Boston Red Sox, although I wouldn't blame you in the slightest bit if you elected to disown them at the moment. They don't have to be yours. They can just be the Boston Red Sox. 617-779-0985 will be with you for the next hour. Let me just say a couple things up front. Okay, first is that I don't really give a rat's ass about the games right now. I don't think many of you are watching them. And if you are, then you are a different kind of fan. And God bless you for it. Because if you're sticking with the team through this, then you deserve a gold star. This product is unwatchable. Even the owner of the team, or one of them, Tom Werner, has said these games are hard to watch. It's hard to watch. So unless or until something significant, and I can define that however I want, happens on that field, I'm not going to spend a lot of time with the Red Sox on the field. Where I am going to spend time is with the Red Sox off the field, especially with the trading deadline coming up, and focusing on what they can or cannot do to get themselves out of this absolute hellhole that they are in. So again, 617-779-0985. And let me just finish that thought by telling you this. Years ago, I remember having a discussion with Terry Francona on the field. And Frank, the team was playing badly, and Francona said something to the effect of, "Boy, you guys love it when we suck." And I said, you know, honestly, we really don't. And let me explain why. Because when they suck this bad, anything that happens on the field is irrelevant. It really becomes irrelevant. It's all about the direction of the franchise and how do they fix it. That's the only story. When they're good, everything's a story. This guy's not reliable in the bullpen. This manager made a bad decision at this time. And I explained this to Francona, and he said, "Oh, I never thought of it that way." I said, when you guys suck, all we write about is you suck and how do we fix it? That's it. But it's so much more interesting and complex when they're actually competitive. As I used to tell people, Murray, you want them good enough to contend and just flawed enough to have failings and potential failings. That's what you want. That's the ideal team to quote-unquote cover. As a fan, you want them to go 162-0. But believe me when I tell you, if they were that good for that long a period of time, you'd get bored by it. The unpredictability of it is always what makes it interesting. So with regard to Chaim Bloom and the roster, you heard him say there, Bogaerts and Devers, core players, we hope that they will be centerpiece guys for us in teams going forward for years to come. This is on the heels of a Kenny Rosenthal report. Kenny Rosenthal, longtime baseball reporter, Fox, MLB Network, and The Athletic. And Kenny Rosenthal reported that Xander Bogaerts has a clause in his contract that will allow him to veto any trade, and that clause will expire in the next couple of weeks. If the Red Sox are ever going to trade Bogaerts and not need his approval, now is the time to do it. Murray, do you think that the Red Sox would be wrong to listen to offers for Xander Bogaerts?
Yeah, I do. I mean, because he's a building block young player, a legitimate star. I think the kid likes being here. And if you go from winning a World Series to trading both he and Mookie Betts in a matter of 18 months, I think that's an unforgivable sin that would be pulled off by this team. I don't trust the organization to get some sort of haul back for Xander Bogaerts.
Okay, but
that's a piece you don't move.
Okay, but leave that part out of it. Again, you just wouldn't trade Bogaerts. What if someone were to give you, like, three stud prospects for him?
They pitchers? If they're pitchers, fine.
Whatever
yes.
you want, Murray. Two pitchers and a positional player. Three pitchers, whatever you want.
I mean, this team is devoid of any talent at that particular position, and it's the most important position. Yes, if someone was going to give you, like, three stud pitchers and you can completely reform your staff, yes. But I don't think that that's a reality.
Okay, so again, it's probably not a reality. But here's what I'm telling you. Nobody's untouchable. That general premise, nobody is untouchable. We would trade anybody at any time if it makes sense for us. I agree with it. I do. I agree with it. The whole untouchable thing only leads to problems. You get players who are entitled. You get players who have too much power. They have no trade clauses, or they become 10-5 guys. The quote-unquote untouchable player is not necessarily a player you want. It doesn't exist. Because the reality is that if the offer is good enough, you would trade him. If the offer is good enough for Xander Bogaerts, I would trade him. As much as I don't want to, I would. If the offer is good enough for Rafael Devers, as much as I don't want to trade him, I would. If the offer is good enough. Now, in the gray area, or in the real world, I should say, the chances of that offer coming are slim and none. In all probability, no one's going to give you what you want for those guys because you want a handsome price. And so you're going to end up keeping those guys, and they're too good of players to give away for 50 cents on the dollar. Hell, people were pissed about the Mookie Betts deal, for crying out loud. And Bloom, by the way, talked about the Betts deal in this teleconference he did. We'll get to that, too, because I thought he had, I should say, an interesting exchange with Alex Spear of the Globe, so I want to touch on that. But Chaim Bloom's teleconference was one of the first times I felt like he was asked what I would call hard questions at a hard time. And I don't even know that they're all that hard, the questions, but certainly the guy's not even a year into the job and the team blows. They're awful. Worst team in the American League, in contention for the top pick in the draft, all of the above. And so now I look at Bloom and say, and I know we had this discussion before, but now it means something. Is he the right guy? Is he the right guy to get him out of this? Because none of us knows a thing about Bloom. We really don't, let alone in a crisis of this magnitude and with a team that has a $200 million payroll. We have no idea what we're getting into with this guy. Furthermore, let me ask you as a fan, and again, the phone lines are open. I already see John on there, John in Scituate. So let me ask you this. What is your expectation for when the Red Sox are going to be better? I want to know, what is your expectation? Murray, what's a realistic goal? Should the Red Sox be good next year?
I mean, I don't think that that's in all probability going to happen. I think you're looking at this as like at least a couple of year rebuild.
Okay, and when I say good, I don't mean...
You mean 500 or better?
I would say, how about in contention for a playoff spot?
Oh, yeah, they probably should. I mean, Chris Sale will be back. Theoretically, they should at least be competing for a playoff spot. Yeah.
Okay.
Given their payroll, they should.
So I'm not sure because I'm not sure Sale's coming back. I don't know what Eduardo Rodriguez really is. I know what Nathan Eovaldi is.
Is Cora the manager? If Cora is the manager, then yes.
Another question. Good question. Who's the manager? Tell me who the manager is and I'll tell you what my expectations are. There are a lot of unknowns with this team. And the one thing that's the most disturbing about it is you don't have anybody coming from the farm system. Who's going to solve your problems? It's coming from the minors. Who's coming? Nobody. No one. Which brings me to this exchange that Bloom had again with Alex Spear. And there were two of them he had with Spear. Billy, this is Bloom number 7, okay, on the timetable. And I want people to listen closely to the answer. Because I listened to the whole teleconference and went for 22, 23 minutes. And let me tell you that most of the questions were good. I thought Alex Spear asked the two best questions on the whole thing. One concerned the timetable the Red Sox were looking at, and the other was a retrospective look at the Betts deal, okay, which, again, we'll hit on here momentarily. But with regard to the timetable, and I left in the question so you could get the full back and forth, Alex Speer asked Bloom, with the trading deadline coming up, how long this whole process was going to take. Because I ask you as a fan, what are you willing to put up with? How long are you willing to wait? Go ahead, Billy, play it.
You've talked a number of times about developing the talent base to create sustainable championship possibilities. With where the Red Sox are, do you anticipate that you'll be able to have that track occurring at the same time that you're able to create contention for 2021?
Yeah, I don't think it's wise for us to try to put timetables on those things. I think if we are doing the right things, sometimes timetables can accelerate. It's hard to foresee that. I think a lot of time when you start trying to get too cute and to sync those things up or to think that you can predict the timetable exactly, you end up doing things that are counter to what your objectives were in the first place. So I think we just have to keep that big picture in mind. If that's behind everything that we do, we might find that things, come together quickly than people might expect. And, I wouldn't try to put a timetable on it. I think we have to just make sure we're assessing our options and potential moves in light of, what we're trying to accomplish overall.
I don't think we should put a timetable on it. How do you think that John Henry and Tom Werner feel about that comment? Tom Werner was asked on Friday
probably
night.
Probably not great.
Okay, Tom Werner was on Nesson on Friday night with Tom Caron and said, we expect to be competitive every year. We expect to be competitive every year. Alex Speer asked Ian Bloom, do you think that you can put this thing back together in time for 2021 to be a contender, be competitive? I don't want to put a timetable on it. So you mean it might take longer? It might take longer. And so this is one of the things that I think, honestly, Red Sox fans are missing, or many people are missing. Hell, I think Felger was missing a little bit today. They got a long way to go. They've got a long way to go. As a fan, are you okay with that? Are you okay if they have to give up 2021? Because let me tell you, I have compared this season to 2012. I've compared it to 2012. It's really more like the end of 2011, but since it happened at the very end, let's make it about 2012. This thing's a disaster. 2012 was a disaster with Bobby Valentine. And you know what the Red Sox did at the end of 2012? They said, we're going to need a little time, so we're going to put together a roster of hardworking guys that can give us a representative product, and then that'll give our minor leaguers time, and then we'll be okay going forward after that. They won the World Series in 2013 because they lucked into it. And again, I don't want to totally dump on them. Those guys had a great year, but they overachieved. They then finished last in 2014 and 2015. I certainly don't want that again, and neither do you. But the point is this. From 2012 to 2015 or through 2015, four seasons they finished last three times. The other one, they had a horseshoe stuck up their ass. So I listen to Bloom and say, no timetable. And I'd say, well, he's right. You can't rush it. You got into the predicament in the first place by rushing it and trying to jam a world title in there for Dombrowski with the Chris Sale deal and everything and Price. There were a lot of expenditures and resources spent to win that title in 2018. And you are where you are now. So are you okay with a long rebuild? Only a short rebuild? I want to know. I want to hear from fans. Short rebuild only? Long rebuild? What do you want? Because given the state of the game and everything else in the state of the world, if the Red Sox go with a long rebuild, I'm not sure they're going to be all that relevant for a while. 617-779-0985. We'll play more Bloom for you. It'll be all Bloom tonight on the program with everything he said. I also want to have faith in the new chief baseball officer. Do you believe in him? Listening to his teleconference or his comments, do you believe in him any more than you did? Boy, talk about the unknowns with this team. Off the charts. We'll be right back.
This is the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mattis on 98.5, the Sports Hub. This is a show that's all about baseball. The Baseball Reporters with Tony Mattis on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, it's extremely disappointing. I mean, these are about as bad of results as you could possibly imagine. A lot of things have not gone well. That's just the fact of the matter. It's extremely disappointing. We're all competitive. We like to win, and we hate losing.
It's about the closest thing you're going to get to a rip job from Chaim Bloom. But everything that's gone wrong that could, I'm paraphrasing. But it couldn't be more true. Bad pitching, which is number one on the list. I mean, to call it bad pitching doesn't even do it justice. Like, maybe the worst pitching you've ever seen, kind of bad pitching. And then a disappointing offense, bad base running, bad defense, an interim manager. Like, the whole thing is a recipe for disaster, just like 2012 was. I see similarities. I want to get to another comment Bloom made about the trade he made for Mookie Betts and David Price and whether or not he regrets it. Given the needs on the Red Sox pitching staff, the Red Sox got no pitching in that deal, remember. But let's take a couple of calls first. John's in Citrick. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, hey, Tony, since I've been on hold, you've touched on a couple things I wanted to say. But, with Bloom, that cut you played, is that code for, like, yeah, we'll do our best, but don't be surprised if we suck for 3 years?
Well, that's what it sounded like, John, didn't it? I mean, that's so you tell me, if that's what it takes to rebuild, are you willing to do it?
I mean, to rebuild for another World Series team, yeah, but not this. I mean, this is just an embarrassment. But I think they wrote the year off before it started. I really do. I mean, the pitching, I mean, enough said. And that's just before I go. I mean, we haven't developed good pitching since Theo left, and not even really close.
Well,
I think eight out of the nine position players last year, I think, were homegrown, and that's all in good. But have not developed pitching, period. And that's what Bloom's in charge of, and trading one of the top five best players in the game and not getting a pitching prospect in return, I'd say he's off to a rough start.
Okay, so I'll tell you what, that's a fair criticism. It's a fair criticism, not getting pitching back in the Mookie Betts deal. And I'm not sure Theo was all that great at it either, by the way. Theo got Lester, but then Buchholz was okay. He was all right. Wasn't a great pitcher by any stretch. Papelbon was in the bullpen, but, you know, it's not like he was a great starter. You know, Matt Barnes has given him something in the bullpen. That's a Theo guy, too. But you get the idea. It's about developing starting pitching, good starting pitching. Justin's in Rentham. Go ahead, Justin.
So, I mean, I don't mind a rebuild, whether it's long or short. But, I mean, at some point, COVID's going to go away, and we're going to go back to Boston and Fenway at some point. I mean, their ticket prices are not going to go down. And who wants to go there and see a bunch of, well, what they have right now and pay for it? You know, you go with the family. I mean, if I go into Boston with my wife for the night, go see the Red Sox game and go out afterwards, it's going to cost me $500 for two people.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, you're better off just going out to dinner and watching the game on TV. Have yourself a good meal. Put it towards a good meal. And so, look, I'm glad you brought this up. I threw this out there on Twitter yesterday, Murray. Did you see this? I said, if let's say fans were allowed at games and you could go to the Red Sox right now for free, would you go? 80% of more than 14,000 people said no.
This made me happy, these results.
Okay, why would you? I mean, really, why would you?
But people are right to be that disgusted by them, though. That's why I say it makes me happy.
So
the product stinks right now.
So two callers ago, the caller said they wrote off the season before it began. I disagree. They might have written off the World Series before the season began. Believe me when I tell you, they had no intention of being this bad.
Right, especially when they expanded the playoffs, too. Even I, who were mostly disgusted by them, like I figured with that offense, or what we thought the offense would be, that they'd find a way to squeak in. They've been even more disappointing than I thought that they could be.
There's no way that they thought they wrote it off to this degree. Just no way. Let's not be stupid about it. Okay, they knew they didn't have a World Series championship caliber team, but they did not think they would suck this bad. They thought at the very least they would hit and be entertaining. And then, you know, Eduardo Rodriguez with COVID was a bad break. But he's not exactly Sandy Koufax. Let's not go to those lengths either. Everyone else has sucked, and Bloom hasn't done much either. Now, again, I don't think Bloom is the chief culprit here, but he hasn't done a ton either. Nate in a car is on the line. I'm going to ask him to hold for 1 second because I want to get to this comment by Bloom. Again, Alex Speer asked what I thought was the second best question of the press conference with Bloom. And Billy, this is Bloom number 8 on not getting any pitching back in the Mookie Betts deal. So given where the Red Sox are with this complete dumpster fire of a pitching staff, which is a disaster, it's a disaster of a pitching staff. That is not hyperbole. Here's the exchange between Alex and Chaim Bloom.
When you made the trade of Mookie and Price, you had different ways that you could have assembled that package. You could have had multiple major league pieces coming back, including some that would have helped you on the pitching side. In retrospect, how much have you rethought what you sought in return, what you decided to do in that trade?
This is one I think, obviously that was a process that became very public. I think despite that, I need to be respectful to the process and not talk specifically about hypotheticals and really with any deal.
Billy, can we stop here for a second? Tell you what, I'm going to stop and start this answer. This became very public, and I'm still not going to comment on any of the particulars of any deal. Talk about tap dancing. Have you rethought the deal? A decisive GM, and I know he's trying to be polite, but a decisive GM would say, no, I haven't rethought it at all. Why would I rethink it? So in any case, Spear asked him again, do you regret not getting pitching in the deal for Mookie? Continue, Billy.
Talk specifically about hypotheticals, and really with any deal, there are often different ways that something could have gone. It usually just isn't as public as the way it played out in that case. So I don't want to get into the specifics other than to say I think the most important thing, we got three players back and they've all shown really well. I mean, you guys have seen on the field here what Doogie has done and showing all the talent that we saw on both sides of the ball. Everything that we've seen from Jeter and Connor at the alternate site has been great.
Billy, can we stop again? Okay, everything we've seen from Jeter and Connor, Jeter Downs and Connor Wong, at the alternate site has been great. How would you know? How the hell would you know?
He trusted scouts, Maz.
Well, no, but beyond that, like, first of all, again, I it cracked me up the other day. Peter Abraham said Bloom went down to Pawtucket to go check out some of the players. I say Pawtucket, sorry, to the alternate site to check out some of the players. And I'm thinking, what's his scouting background? How would he know? And then beyond that part of it, they're not playing anyone. They're just working out. How the hell would you know if they're showing well? Showing what? In batting practice? Like, showing what? What are they showing? Connor Wong's a catcher. Has he shown an ability to hit good pitching? Has he shown an ability to handle a staff? How the hell would you know? How would you know? Go ahead, Billy.
Everything that we've seen from Jeter and Connor at the alternate site has been great. Recognizing like that, obviously pitching has been an issue for us this year and we didn't get pitchers back in that deal. I think it takes a lot of good players over time to build a sustainable championship team. And, we are going to need a lot of good players no matter which way we go about it. And we got three good ones in that deal.
Okay, we'll see. Connor Wong's a backup catcher. That was the report on him. I don't know if I'd call him a good player. Maybe he'll turn into something better. And I don't know that that's a pressing need right now. Okay, so that's that. Now, look, with regard to the pitching and the inability to get pitching in the deal on for Mookie, totally fair criticism. Totally fair criticism. Now, if all three of these guys end up all-stars, then maybe we'll change our minds. But let's not forget, the original deal Bloom made had a pitcher in it, and ownership told him to go back and get more. Bruce Dar Graterol, remember him? I saw some video of him. I haven't checked his numbers in the last couple of days.
Kid throws gas, though.
Throws 100 miles an hour, and he struck someone out with some nasty stuff on some stuff I saw on Twitter. So I don't know if I love Graterol. The Red Sox were concerned about his health and his ability to hold up. And at the end of the day, he's a reliever. He's a reliever. You needed to get a starting pitching prospect for Mookie, but they waited too long to deal him, which is another issue. But that's a fair criticism. Nonetheless, I'm willing to say, let's see how they do on the deal. If they hit on Verdugo, hit on Downs, and Wong actually turns out to be a starting catcher, well, then who knows? I mean, maybe we'll change our minds on that deal. But I think Chaim Bloom wanted a starter in that deal. Maybe they were going to use Graterol as a starter. I think he did want a pitcher in that deal, and he got overruled, which, again, speaks to the overall way that the Red Sox have run, particularly in the last 10 years post-Theo. As many last-place finishes as World Series during this ownership. Boy, that's hard to fathom. The Yankees don't finish last. The Dodgers don't finish last. And those are the teams you should compare yourselves to. More on Chaim Bloom, so you don't want to go anywhere just yet. When we come back, I want to tell you a position that the Red Sox absolutely positively should be trading away at this deadline. I mean, to me, this is like the no-brainer of all no-brainers. We'll tell you what that is after Murray gets you caught up on headlines.
Now, more hot takes on a short season. It's the Baseball Reporters on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
But I think big picture, look, we always want to compete and win every time we take the field. But we're trying to do this a lot. We're trying to do it so that we can sustain it, so that we can compete for championships every year for a long time. And anything that builds toward that goal is something that we have to consider regardless of what our record is right now.
A lot of long-term discussion by Chaim Bloom. A lot of long-term discussion. Whatever gets us towards that goal, we want to be there year in and year out. A lot of that. Which, again, if you read between the lines, what I think Chaim Bloom's trying to tell you yesterday that this is going to be a while. I think it's the whole reason they brought him in. The Red Sox want to compete every year. In a very gray term, you can define that however you want. They wanted to compete in 2013. They thought they were going to win 85 games. They won the World Series, and I think that's now working against them. I think that that standard all of a sudden is, whoa, now they can pull that rabbit out of the hat again. Tough to do. So do they want to win 85 games next year? Do they want to be competitive? Yes. Do they think they're winning a World Series? No. And I think they know they're a couple of years away. I think they're looking at a more significant rebuild over there than people want to admit. Particularly and primarily, really, with regard to the pitching staff. Okay, it's really about the pitching staff. How do you fix that pitching staff overnight? Well, go out in the market and sign some pitching. Okay, tell me who. Take a look at the free agent list. Tell me who you like. Because I've looked at it. I think it's crap. Nate's in a car. Go ahead, Nate.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Tony. Yeah, I'm one of those longtime Red Sox fans from when I was younger in the 90s. And I've never seen a team this bad, but I am willing to kind of wait on the team. Pitching has always been their strong point. When they've won a World Series, they've had pitching. And I feel like almost like an audition year is going on right now where they're just trying guys out and see if they'll stick for next year. And also having the manager, Ron Reneke, right now, he's basically kind of holding, like you said, like a placeholder until next year. Well, maybe we'll get somebody in there that can kind of set this team right. But I feel like if it's Alex Cora or somebody else, they'll do a way better job. So I'm willing to kind of wait that out. But I think it is going to be about 2 years.
Okay, so Nate, look, I hope they bring Cora back. And if you ask me, do I think that they would try? My answer is yes. I'm starting to wonder, if you're Alex Cora, would you take this job? Could there be better places to go? If you're Alex Cora, why would you come here and deal with a rebuild?
If he feels burned by the organization in any way, shape, or form, like they threw him under the bus a bit, yeah, I could understand why he'd not want to come back, but I'm sure the pull would be the players in that clubhouse, right? I mean, I'm sure he really liked some of those guys and vice versa. I mean, look at the way that they've dropped off in play. I mean, I think he got a lot out of these young players. But if he feels burned, I don't blame him. If he feels like he got screwed over by them.
I just think that, I don't know, what about Houston? Houston might be looking for a manager. I guess they extended Dusty Baker for another year. But that's not a big one to bite the bullet on. If Baker sucks, you could bring Cora back to Houston, although maybe they can't do that because of the PR backlash from the whole cheating scandal. So, and maybe teams won't touch Cora. If I'm the Red Sox, I'd bring Cora back. With regard to Bloom and taking flyers on some guys, Billy, I'm sort of putting you on the spot here a bit, but Bloom 9, Chaim Bloom was asked to assess his own performance. So again, we may stop and start here. In the beginning of it, I thought he was pretty blunt. But then he gets to some of the particulars. So go ahead, Billy, play it.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would always tend to be more critical first when I'm looking in the mirror. I think that's how I operate, whether we've won 9 in a row or lost 9 in a row, because I think you always want to get better. Recognizing, like I said, there's a lot of variance in small sample outcomes, that doesn't make it any easier to live through when something like this is happening.
Okay, stop, Billy. So he says, recognizing, there's a lot of variance in small samples. So I always think when someone gets answered this question, how do you think you're doing? Well, not well. At the end of the day, we're responsible for the product on the field. Short term, long term, it really doesn't matter. It is what it is. So we got to get better. I would have left it at that. Instead of saying, recognizing the variance in small samples, which gives him an alibi. Well, it's been a small sample, But the way he dropped it in is sort of a subtle way to say, well, remember, it's been a small sample, but, we do ask a lot of ourselves. Go ahead, Billy. Continue.
With respect to bringing in a bunch of the players that we did, I think we knew in doing that, you know, your hit rate is not going to be 100%. Various circumstances have led to us relying on a lot more of these players at once than we expected to, which isn't ideal for anybody. It's not ideal for us. It's not ideal for them.
Okay. So again, you know, bringing in the guys we did, well, we knew we weren't going to hit on 100%. Translation? You want the translation? Fellas, these guys were all picked out of the dumpster. You're going to hold this against me? This is what you're going to hold against me? That the Phillips Valdez's and Austin Bryce's, and these are the guys you're going to hold against me? So look, in fairness to Bloom, okay, now I know that part of the idea of bringing him in is to find diamonds in the rough. But in fairness to Bloom, it's really more about the drafting and developing and pitching. Because that's what Tampa really has been able to do. Even identify pitching prospects in other organizations and then trade for them. That's what it's about. So I will give Bloom some latitude on this one. But again, if it were me and I were new on the job, what I would have said is, hey, look, they brought me in to rebuild the pitching staff. We're off to a bad start. No matter how we get there in the short term or the long, it really doesn't matter. Fans expect results. We have to give them results. That's what I would have said. That's what I think he should have said. Now, what he said is a perfectly reasonable, logical answer, but then people like me are going to sit there and pick apart all the little subtle things he says. Well, you know, we know it's a small sample size, or you're not going to hit on 100%. Like, you know, as if it just feels like him offering defenses for the fact that they've sucked so bad. Now, the trading deadline's coming up, and there is an area that the Red Sox absolutely should make a trade in. I mean, to me, this is like the easiest no-brainer on the roster of the deal they should make. I'll tell you what that is in 1 second. First, Ray and Revere. Go ahead, Ray.
Hey, yeah, Tony, I think the ownership needs to give this GM some cover. You know, this is a massive rebuild. They have not been able to draft pitching under the John Henry ownership group. I mean, literally, Clay Buchholz was the last pitcher they developed. And this guy really has to start with drafting and signing 16-year-old international free agents. It's that level of work that the guy needs to do. He's not going to fix it through trades. He's not going to fix it through free.
Well, so, Ray, I agree. I don't think it's just international, though. I think it's also in the draft. So, you know, now, look, the problem is that in the past, you used to be able in the international marketplace just outspend everybody. Now you can't do that. So the job's a lot harder. I still say the big one's the draft. Hit on your picks in the draft. And maybe you'll actually get a high pick next year. Or maybe you can trade for one now that is undervalued in another organization. Billy Lanny, typically guys at the deadline are guys who are going to be free agents. And if you don't know all this, I don't blame you, but I'm just sort of playing a little game with you. Okay? On the Red Sox, among their positional players, because let's face it, they don't have a lot of value on the pitching staff unless you want to move a reliever, which you could do. I mean, Workman or Barnes, or I would consider moving those guys. In a second, I would. I don't know how much you'll get, but maybe you'll get something. But a positional player, you might be able to get something decent, and even if the guy's going to be a free agent. And this guy is. If you had to pick right now the most obvious positional player to trade, who would you say it is? If you had to guess.
Bogaerts.
Okay, just because you can get a lot for him.
Right, value.
Okay. What about just for the deadline? In other words, you're trading a guy whose contract's going to be up at the end of the year. I'm trying to lead a horse to water here, Billy.
Jackie Bradley Jr.
Boom. Boom. Jackie Bradley Jr. is the guy to deal. And here's why. Not just the fact that he's going to be a free agent. You're probably going to let him go anyway. You know why you're going to let him go? Because you have a replacement in waiting. It might be the only spot in the entire organization where, in theory, you have a guy waiting to take Jackie Bradley's spot. Now, the plan may have been foiled by the fact that COVID hit and there is no minor league season. But Jaron Duran is a center fielder, or at least an outfielder. You know, you can play some games out there if you have to, and for a year you might be able to get by with Benintendi or Verdugo, but whatever. Duran's a center fielder, I'm pretty sure, and if he's not, then certainly you can move someone else there and fill it on the short term that way. Bloom on Duran was asked about Jaron Duran. Billy, this is number 10. And I think this should tell you plenty about the trading deadline. Again, you can read between the lines a little bit with Bloom, and he did tell you some things. This is one of the things he told you, I think. Go ahead, Billy.
he has been really exciting to watch since spring training. I mean, you guys saw it in camp. That's continued over at the alternate site. He's made some, you know, great adjustments with his swing. He spent a lot of time working on his body, you know, from a physical standpoint, and that's looked great. So everything there has been a positive. I wouldn't necessarily say that, you know, roster status is a huge determinant, but I do think generally speaking, and I don't want to single out Jaron with this because I think it applies to a lot of guys and it could apply differently. We have to remember that even though this is a very different season, it's a very different development environment, that we still need to make sure we are looking as honestly as we can of where guys are in their development and what is going to benefit them. I think, you know, my experience has been that sometimes the worst thing you can do, especially if you're doing it because you're unsatisfied with the on-field product at the big league level or you want to get a jolt, sometimes the worst thing you can do is to take shortcuts in a player's development that can lead to short-term results that are not what you want, and it can also lead to some long-term difficulties.
So, look, what he's telling you there about Jaron Duran is they're not going to rush him and that maybe he would have been ready for 2021, but with COVID and everything else, it might take a little bit longer, so he might not be there quite for the start of the season. Maybe he's telling you there's a reason why Duran's not here right now. You know, we could use him in the big leagues right now, but there's no point in doing it. It's been a different kind of year. Or maybe he's telling you to sit tight because we're going to deal Bradley on August 31st or before the end of the month, and then Jaron Duran's going to be in the big leagues and we'll start getting his feet wet for the majors. Whatever it is, Jackie Bradley should be a goner. Honestly, independent of what you get for him, there's no reason to keep him. Even if you can just get a middle reliever, take it. Take it. Why let him walk and get nothing? You're not going to make him a qualifying offer and get any sort of compensation. So you're not going to get a draft pick for him. You're not going to get any of that. Let him go. Trade him. Take a middle reliever if you have to. Because you have a guy there in Duran who's probably going to take over next year in the outfield in one way, shape, or form. That's about the only spot you can do it at. Every other guy in the system, is that a guy really that, you know, is going to be able to jump in and replace a big leaguer? Even Dahlbeck. You want to tell me you believe in Dahlbeck? Dahlbeck's Michael Chavis 2.0. Same kind of guy. Same kind of guy.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.